Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. I want to read you some verses here real quick. Out of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that's all these heroes of the faith that it's just mentioned in the chapter before, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Consider him, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Holy Spirit, I ask you to just use me to say what people need to hear, what you want to speak, what the Father wants to speak, and just let the rest of it go. And we give you praise for it, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want God to speak some life into you today. I want Him to touch your life in a big way today. I want Him to do something for you today that is so spectacular that you know it had to be Him. I believe He is doing something for you that's exceeding abundantly above anything you can ask or think. And whenever the word goes forth, that is the word of God. Whenever the word goes forth, that's when the anointing is there for you to receive. And so it's not something you do, you just believe it. So in times in the future, when I speak the word out, if that hits you, if that grabs you in here, just say, that's mine. I take it, God, I receive it. And God's going to do big things in your life. You believe that? Well, eight of us do. We're making credit. Last week is just four. This week it's eight. So, hey, I love y'all. Thank you for being here today. Let us run the race that's before us. I want to talk to you today just for a couple minutes about running your race. Running your race. Because you see, it really doesn't matter what my race is. It doesn't matter what Chris's race is. It doesn't matter what any of the others of us have, Greg or anybody else. It doesn't matter what our race is, but the thing is, you have to answer to God for your race. Now, if you don't mind what his purpose for you. If you don't mind, I'm not going to put a lot of scriptures on the screen today because I just want you to listen to me and I don't want you to be trying to read. But you're supposed to read your Bible at home anyway. How about that? Anyway, what's important is God's will for you, His race for you. Run your own race. So many times we're trying to be like somebody else. We're trying to do what somebody else does. We're seeing somebody else and wishing we could be like that or do like that. But the truth is God's got something just for you. That's how important you are to Him. And you know, when this all gets said and done, when we come to the end of this race, I'm going to have to look God in the eye. I'm going to have to look my Lord and Savior Jesus in the eye. And I'm going to have to stand accountable. Did I do what He told me to do? Okay, let me read you scripture here. Where is that, Lord? Matthew 8. No, Matthew 7. Listen to this. It says, not everyone, this is Jesus talking, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, who's going to enter? The one that does the will, the Father's will. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, I don't know about you, but I used to read those scriptures all the time and they'd scare me. Anybody ever do that and think, oh God, I want to get to the end and even say that, and just Jack's the only one honest? How many ever read those verses? They're a little scary. I mean, I read Revelations the other day and I got done and I said, whoo, God, I think I need to get saved over again here, but these verses really, none of this word is to scare us. Sometimes it gets our attention. Sometimes it makes us try harder or makes us focus better. How many here have Jesus in your heart? You have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior by faith. I didn't ask how many was doing real good and how many is living perfect and all that. I said, how many here have asked Jesus into your heart? You got him in your heart and you know you're saved. Okay? He will not say to you, depart from me. You with me? Okay? He's not ever going to say that to you. Okay? But he's talking here to the Israelites. He's talking here to a group of people that have been God's people. They have lived for God. They have known that they were his chosen people. And Jesus comes to bring a new message. Paul gives us the revelation of that new message in Ephesians. But the new message is, the new revelation is that not just those people were going to be the children of God, but that whoever would receive Jesus all across the earth, that Gentiles too, unbelievers all across the earth, when they would receive Jesus, they would be God's children too. And if you're saved, whenever you read things that apply to Israel, there are some things that physically apply to Israel, but you have the same spiritual gifts because you've been grafted in. You are part of God's special chosen people, okay? But he's talking to a bunch of religious folk here that have come to a place in their life to where instead of really having a circumcised heart and being right with God in their heart, they have learned to depend on their performance to be right with God. I mean, it's the more I do for God, the more he loves me. To be right with God, I have to work. To be right with God, and they had so many rules and regulations, and they had taken the law, and they had just multiplied it. And so he's dealing with this kind of people here, a religious people, and they're thinking that by doing the good things for God, that's pleasing him. But Jesus is introducing something different. He's introducing his kingdom. And he's saying, hey, there's a new guy on the block, and that's me. He's saying, hey, there's a new setup here now. The kingdom of God's coming to the earth, and it's going to be in your heart. And I can imagine these people, they did good things. How many know we should do good things? Well, the rest of you need to know we should do good things. How many don't know we should do good things? Okay, well now next time I ask a question, pick one or the other, okay? But we should do good things, and I've got a rule. I live by this rule, and many of you live by this rule. You just keep doing good. Just keep doing good, and it'll catch up with you. And my rule of thumb is that I want to do so much good that when you come up and thank me for what I did, I don't even remember it. Okay? That happened to me today. People thanking me for this and that, and I'm sitting here smiling, and I'm thinking, I don't know what you're talking about, but praise God that he was able to touch your life. But I just said this here because there's a law here. He says this this spirit of you that practice lawlessness. See, folks were doing the good things for God. Man, they were going to church. They were working Roundup. They were going to church. They were working Roundup. They were serving chili. They were going to church. They were working Roundup. But they were doing good things. And what did Jesus say? He says, you're not going to get into this kingdom by doing good things. You're going to get into this kingdom by doing the good things that God tells you to do. Okay? And when he says, you that practice lawlessness, he says, you're doing good things, but that isn't what I told you to do. That makes sense? So you see, I believe God has a race for each one of us. I think he has a race and a purpose for each one of us. And I like in back up in chapter 5 there, when he's giving the parable about the talents. He left the 10 talents and the 5 and the 1. And when he comes to the one that did something with what he had given them, the master had given them, when they did something with their talents, their abilities, their money, when they did something with that, he said, good and faithful servant. Now, I don't know when it comes time to look him in the eye. I want him to look and say, Hank, you did a good job. You missed it a bunch, but you did a good job. You see, and he doesn't care how much we miss it. He just wants us to keep trying. Just keep going. And so I just kind of wanted to throw that little principle out that we can do good things, but what is God telling you to do? You see, I believe that he's got something special for you. I wear these scriptures out in Jeremiah, but you know, Jeremiah was young and he didn't feel like he had anything to offer, and he didn't feel like he could do any good, and God had a mission for him to tell the whole tribe of Israel, tell them all that he wasn't happy with them, and he had something for Jeremiah to do. And in Jeremiah 1 verses 4 and 5, he tells Jeremiah this. He says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nation. He said, I knew you. See, now, I believe he knew me before I was ever formed. I believe he had a purpose for my life before I was ever born. He goes on in chapter 29, and he says, this time he's talking to the whole house of Israel and to us. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans to prosper you and not harm you. They're plans to give you hope and to give you a future. Now, I don't know. See, now I have to believe then that God loves me enough that he knew that I'm here on purpose. I heard somebody here not long back tell their child, say, you know, but you were just an accident. And I thought, what a terrible thing to say. And I know they were just saying it off the top of their head and they weren't really thinking, but you're not an accident. You're here on purpose. You're here because in the heart of God, he saw you and he formed you and he brought you into this world because he had a purpose for you and he wanted to walk with you and talk with you and love you and be with you. He wanted to help you run your race. Our race. And real quick, I want to read Psalms 139:16. I'm reading these out of the New Living Translation. Psalms 139:16, he says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. I just wonder what would happen if all of us would realize we're all members. We're all important members of the body of Christ. We all have something to do. I'll read you a couple other scriptures here. Out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, this makes harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. This is 1 Corinthians 12, 25 through 28. It says, if one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And he goes on here and he says, and there's some parts, the first are apostles and prophets and teachers. But then I like the way he breaks down these gifts. He says, and then there are those that do miracles. There are those who have the gifts of healing. There are those who can help others. There are those who have the gift of leadership. In 1 Peter 4:10, Peter says this. He said, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Isn't that neat? Everybody say, I have a gift. God's given each of you a gift out of His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them to serve each other. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as if though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Then do it with all the strength and energy God supplies. And if you do that, then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. I just thought that was neat. And I want you to understand that God has specific things for your life. Nothing worse than to feel like I'm just part of the crowd. Oh, there's a lot of people go down there, and I'm just one of the crowd. No, but you're the special one. Some of you that just came today, you don't realize it. It's not an accident. You thought it was your idea to come today, but God's trying to place you in a body where you can be unique and where you can use your special gift that He's given you to make the body complete. See, we think this... Yeah, give Him some breath. We think this is our idea, but it isn't our idea. He knows. He planned. He had it set up for you. And if you realize that you came, and maybe this is your first time. Maybe you've been coming for a few weeks or a few months. I don't know. But if you realize you came so that we could be all that God wants us to be. You've got to understand, because anything that belittles you and anything that makes you feel average and anything that makes you, that beats you down and makes you feel self-conscious and makes you feel bad and makes you think thoughts about you, anything that does that's not from God. Because God's going to be telling you who you are. He's going to be telling you how what He's done for you. He's going to be telling you how to do it. And when you decide to do what He tells you to do, He's even going to do it for you. He's going to help you do it. He's going to strengthen you to do it. Most of the time, it's just us making a choice. We just need to run a race. We just need to run a race. Now, what is the race? You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but I used to, God, what is this all about? I mean, why am I here? I didn't ask to be here. I didn't ask to be born. Why am I here? And you know, I guess you ought to see God's heart. God's heart is for you. God's heart is for all of those that aren't here today. God's heart is for all the unsaved people in the world. God said, I love you so much, people of the world, that I don't want you to perish. And so I'm going to send my son, and through him, I'm going to become a sacrifice for all your sins. I'm going to make it okay. I'm going to fix all this mess, and you can come back to me by simple faith, and you won't have to perish, but you can live with me forever. That's what John 3:16 says, by the way. And for Peter says it this way, it says that God is so long-suffering. Somebody just sitting in here and you're not saying, you say, well, you know, how come all this stuff, this end hadn't come and everything? How come Jesus hadn't come back and he's waiting for somebody to get saved? If you're not saved, he's waiting on you. That's why you're here today. If you don't know for sure, this is your day. But Peter says he's long-suffering and he doesn't want anyone to perish. Man, I don't know about you, but I'm glad he didn't want this someone not to perish. Huh? And I'm glad he kept bugging me and badgering me and you know, when the Bible says he'll never leave you, forsake you, you think that's a good thing. But if you're not saved, that's not a good thing, because he's just going to stay right on you like a hound dog on a coon, man. I'm telling you, he's going to be like a bird dog on a quail. He's going to be on you. He's not ever going to give up on you. He's going to be talking to you, nagging at you, nudging at you, tugging at your heart, sending somebody by to witness to you. You can get so mad at those people that are coming around talking about Jesus. That's the way I was. I got so mad. How come all these people, they just want to come talk to me about Jesus? And then I met him, and I couldn't do nothing but talk about him too. But he doesn't want anybody to perish. Somebody said, Hank, you just act like you think you can get everybody saved. Well, I do. Huh? I mean, if you think you can get everybody saved, aren't you going to get more people saved than if you think you can't get very many saved? I think we can get everybody saved. What about you? I think we can get everybody in this area saved. What about you? I believe if Central does their part, and if Christ Church does their part, and if all these other churches do their part, I think we can get everybody in this area that doesn't know Jesus, I think we can get them saved. We can reach some. Destiny can reach some. First Church can reach some. Different ones can reach some. But we can all reach somebody. And so let's just go after the ones that we can reach. Let's just run our race. Huh? You see, you got to run your own race. You got to, you know, Joel Osteen told a story, and I'm going to have to quit here pretty quick, but Joel Osteen told a story. It turned my life upside down. Now, John Osteen, his dad, was one of my heroes. I mean, I read every book he wrote. I listened to every tape of his I could get my hands on. I mean, to me, he was a giant. And he wasn't about that tall, but man, he was a giant. He might have been a little on the outside, but on the inside, he was a giant, man. And Joel, whenever John died in 1999, Joel didn't want to be he never wanted to preach. He did all the camera stuff, and he did all the work behind the scene. He never wanted to get out in front of people. He never wanted to speak. But Dodie was right there pushing him and saying, no, you're supposed to be the pastor. You're supposed to be the pastor. Joel said the first year, he said he was so nervous about it and so self-conscious about it. He said the first year, every time he preached, he wore a pair of his daddy's shoes. Every time he preached, he wore a pair of John's shoes. And he said, after a year, year was just about up, and he said, God spoke to his heart and said, Joel, it's time to put on your own shoes. And I guess if you go into their church right now, Lakewood Church right now, there's a glass case over there somewhere that has those shoes of John Osteen in its glass case. So if you're ever there and you go see them, you'll know the story behind that. But he said, it's time to put on your own shoes. Hey, I think we ought to learn from each other. I think we ought to encourage each other. I think we ought to study some of the great teachers we've got. I think we ought to, man, we ought to go after it with all our hearts. But you know, there comes a time when you just have to run your race. And there comes a time when you just have to say, hey, you know, I can't be anybody else. I can just be me. There was a time I had to come to myself and I said, you know, man, I can't be Mac. I can't be Copeland. I can't be Keith Moore. I can't be Gary Shaw. I can't be James Poe. I can't be Doug Wilkerson. I can't be Greg Wilkerson. I can't be Chris. But I can be Hank. Huh? I can be Hank. You know, there's not a week goes by that I don't say, God, I wish they had somebody better than me to get up and talk to them this week. I wish they had somebody that was more polished than me to get up and talk to them this week. I wish they had somebody that was more qualified and more than... And he usually just says, he lets me go, and then he says, now, shut up. You're the one I picked. You see, there comes a time in all of our life where we just have to say, hey, I'm me. That's all I am. You know, I was reading, told you I read Revelations last week, and I read that, and Nathan, man, that, you know, Chris understands it all, but I don't. But and I love to hear Chris teach about Revelations, but I read all that, you know, and I'm going, whew, I hadn't read it in a long time, and I got done, I'm going, whew, God, I remember I used to think I knew what all this meant, and now I'm not sure about any of it. I said, I don't really know about all that stuff, God, but I said, I know one thing. I love you with all my heart, and I'm going to serve you the rest of my days, and I'm going to live for you. I don't know all the great theology. I don't know all the ins and outs and all the stuff I used to think I knew. I'm not sure I know that anymore, but I know I love you. I know Jesus is Lord. I know He'll lead me and guide me by His Holy Spirit into all that God has for me. And I know He'll take you, and with all your mess ups and with all your flub ups and with all your mistakes and with all you the times you get knocked down, He'll still take you and He'll use you. He had a purpose for you. He had a dream for you. And you've had it in there, and you got those gifts. And I just say, hey, I really didn't get very much of this stuff that's on here, but you don't know what's on there anyway, do you? So you don't know. If I wouldn't have told you, you wouldn't have known that. I'm going to have to learn to keep my mouth shut. God's got special things just for you. And you know, there came a time in my life, and a few years back, and you know, there's been several big, big things that have just really knocked me off the cart. And just a few years back, one of those things that was almost as big as when I lost my son. One of those things knocked me off the cart, and I was lost. I was fumbling for a long time, and God knows I still fumble. but I had to revisit something. I had to go back to my Bethel. I had to go back and remember what God told me when I got saved. I had to go back and remember some of those things. Are you old? Are you listening to me? Have you been around here for 30, 40 years? Are you listening to me? I had to go revisit some of those things. And I had to, Greg told me something one time. He said, Hank, you just got to do what God's called you to do. And I'll be honest, at that time I was so confused and so messed up. I couldn't even have told you what God told me to do. And for a long time around here, I just showed up. I just showed up. But I had to go and revisit my calling. I had to go and revisit what God had told me. I had to go and weigh it out. God, did you tell me this 40 years ago? Are you the one that told me this? Or are you the one that anointed me then? Are you the one that did this? And let me tell you something. If God told you something 20, 30, 40 years ago, He's telling you the same thing now. He didn't change it. If you're still alive, it means He's still got something for you to do. See, we've got a race to run, and we get sidetracked. Our flesh tells us lies. Our mind tells us lies. Our flesh tells us, well, you're old, you can't do what you did back then. Well, you are. We are aging. I'm not going to use the word old anymore, but we are aging, and I might not be able to run as far as I used to run, but I still can fulfill my calling. I'm a little nervous when I hear phrases like, have you got a minute? I'll just share a few things. I'm a little nervous when I hear phrases like, well, I'm just going to step back for a while. I'm just going to step back and let some of the young folks have it. I'm just gonna step down. Folks, that's dangerous. Let me tell you something. Now, there's times when you change positions, and there's times when you change what you're doing. There's times when God changes our assignment, put it that way. But help me, Holy Spirit. God's not going to take you from doing something to having you not doing nothing. Okay, that's a lie. That's a lie from the devil. Now, my flesh tells me that because my flesh, it feels good. My mind tells me that because my mind doesn't want to do anything my body doesn't want to do. But every once in a while, still, I have to revisit what my spirit's telling me to do. And He's telling you to do the same thing that He told you way back when He started telling you. God's never going to... If you're not moving forwards, you're moving backwards. There's no standing still. So yes, God will change our assignments. He will change our position. But if He tells me to quit doing something, I'm going to say, okay, what am I supposed to start doing? And I'm going to say that before I quit this, because I know if I quit this and then just wait to see what I'm supposed to do, my flesh will take over and my mind will take over, and I won't do nothing but sit in the recliner. I'm just telling you about me. I don't know about you, but you know about you. Are you hearing me? And what I'm saying is, and I still have to do it. I did it this week. I have to go back every once in a while and just revisit. And I had to do that at this major time. I had to revisit. God, what did you really say? Did you really tell me I was supposed to be the pastor? Did you really tell me these things? And I had to go back and I had to say, what are your gifts? And I had to stir those gifts up. And how I stirred them up is I started sending you a thought for the day 3 years ago. I started doing things that would stir me up. I started going and finding people that were down so I could pick them up. I started going finding people to help so I could help them. I had to stir those gifts up in me because my flesh didn't want to do it, and my mind just agrees with my flesh just like that, boy. Now, I'm just talking about me, okay? So any of this that fits you, just apply it, okay? And it probably doesn't fit any of you, but what's your gifts? What's God told you to do? You want to know how I developed my gifts and my callings? I developed them working on buses. I developed them working in the children's churches. I developed them going to the old folks' home and preaching, and at one time we were ministering to 1,000 people a week in the nursing homes around this area. I mean, somebody said, "Hank, you be in charge of the nursing homes?" And I said, "Well, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it big." Pat remembers those days. Hey, we had crews in these nursing homes. But I'd go around, and I'm tell you what, folks, if you think you've been called to preach, go preach in a nursing home for a while. We'll see what you're made of. Huh? Go preach. I promise you, they're not going to turn cartwheels, and they're not going to stand up and applaud you. And they're not going to even act. You're not even going to think they heard anything you said. But if you know you're called, how did God develop my callings in my life? By me busying myself with the work of God. By me going after it. Listen, young folks, you got a call? Quit waiting for us to hand something over to you. Get in here and fight for it. Do you want your calling? Do you want to walk in your calling? Do you want to walk in that anointing? Then bless God, you got to want it. You got to go after it. You got to fight for it. Fight the fight of faith for it. You got to believe for it. You got to be hungry for it. Those that hunger and thirst after my righteousness. You hearing me? You hearing me? And I'll just tell you, whoever... okay. Whoever's after my spot, come on, let's get it on. I'll fight you for it. And then after you've fought enough, I'll step aside and let you do it. Folks, if you don't pay a price for something, it's not worth anything to you. Everything Jesus has is free, but it costs you a lot if you want to get it. I love the story Nathan told about kids going to summer camp when he was a kid. He played football in high school, and he said, "I wanted to go to camp so much, but my coach told me I couldn't miss practice." And he said, "I knew if I missed practice, when I came back, there was going to be hell to pay. I was going to have to work harder. I was going to have to run harder. I was going to have to do twice or three times as much as anybody else. But I wanted to go to camp so bad because I knew God wanted me to go that it was worth whatever price I had to pay." Hope that was okay, me sharing that. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Folks, we need to hunger after God again. And I'm not just talking to the young folks, some of you old fogies. Some of us. Hold it, man. It's not time for you to lay down. It's not time for you to give up. How are they going to know what to do? Are you going to make them start the same place we started? Or are you going to mentor and encourage and root them on and show them how? Don't tell them to go over and serve. Go over and serve and show them and say, "This is how you do it. This is how you do it." And after a while, they'll be saying, "Scoot over. I want to do it." Are you with me? I'm just trying to give you something that'll help you. Something that'll get you live by. "Well, I'm just old and just care." Hey, I'm gonna tell you something. You study the book. These guys in the Bible, when they got old, they were their hottest when they were the oldest. I love Caleb, and I tell this story all the time. But God, he'd went into the promised land, him and Joshua, when they were 40 years old. He'd gone into the promised land. And when he was in the promised land, they saw they're the only two that said, "Wow, look what's here. Man, we got this is the land of milk and honey. We can take this, baby." And while he was in there, God showed him a mountain. And he said, "Caleb, that's your mountain. That's your mountain." Caleb said, "All right." And they come back to camp and they're going, "Man, we're well able to do it." And Caleb's thinking in his mind, "Man, I got a mountain over there. I can take that mountain." I thought a lot of things when I was 40 that I have to remind myself of now. But here, 40 years in the wilderness, and they come out of the wilderness, and Joshua, they've been having battles for 5 years. Caleb's 85 years old, and he walks up, and he looks, and there's that mountain. I don't know if he remembered it before that, but he looked, and he said, "Whoa, that's the mountain God told me was my mountain." He went and told Joshua, he said, "Give me that mountain. I can take it. I was able to take it when I was 40, and I'm able to take it when I'm 85. Give me that mountain. I'm ready to take it for God." And he took it. And he took it. Is there anybody I missed? Is there anybody in between the young and the old? Huh? Are you hearing me? Man, you've been here a while. I've been to 43 roundups. I know. Well, let's make this 43rd one the best one we ever had. Well, I've been going here for 40 years, and you know, we just kind of settle in with just kind of what it is, you know. Hold it. Why don't we make it something different? Why don't we shake it up? You get on fire, some of you that's been around a while. You get on fire. I promise that fire will spread to some of these others, these younger ones. And I promise you'll work yourself right out of a job, because you won't be able to do nothing. There'll be somebody there wanting to do what you're doing. Well, is there anybody I haven't got mad at me today? How many know I love you? And I'm not here to get on you, man. I'm here to challenge you. I'm here to say, man, and this is what I'm doing to me. I'm stirring up that gift in me. I'm revisiting those things. I'm saying, God, you're not done with me yet. Come on, let's show me what to do. We still can make an impact. We still can reach the lost. We still can do things for God. And don't think that I'm trying to say that I don't think you're doing anything, because you need to hear what I tell other people. Don't go here. I get around these preachers, like, I just can't get my people to do nothing. I said, man, I can't stop my people. I'm afraid some of them are going to work themselves to death. I'm just saying, let's listen to what God's doing. Let's listen to what He's telling each of you to do, because you're vitally important to what He's doing in this church. You're vitally important what He's going to do here 5 years from now and 10 years from now. I just want to spur you on. I just want to encourage you. I just want you to go back and look at Bethel for a little while. Go back and look at that fire that was there, and just kind of brush the ashes back a little bit. If you just kind of brush them back a little bit, you'll find some coals still lit in there, man. And when you find those little coals, just start blowing on them. Just start blowing on them. And pretty soon a flame will fly up inside of you. And you'll be as hot or hotter than you ever been. Well, he said, hey, run your race. He said, consider Jesus. Consider what he went through, lest you get weary. Huh? Lest you get tired. Lest your mind gets all confused and weary. And, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I'm just burnt out. I heard a preacher the other day, and he was just on there, and he was just crying. He said, I'm just tired and burnt out. And I said, man, you need to consider Jesus. He was pretty tired when he was trying to get that cross up on Calvary for me. He was pretty tired, and he kept falling, and he kept getting back up, and they finally had to get somebody to help him carry that cross. And he said, I'm going all the way. I'm not quitting. And I'll just say, Jesus, if you didn't quit on me, I'm not quitting on you. I've said this before. Everybody, some people think I'm a fanatic. Somebody quit the church once because all he wants to do is get people saved. Duh. Duh. I'm a fanatic about it, man. If you're not saved here today, I want you to be saved. So let's go ahead and sing a song. That's the only way I'll quit. If you're not saved here today, I want you. If there's any doubt in your mind, I want you to know today. But if you are saved, man, I want to blow on those coals. I want to rekindle that fire. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to just stir that thing up in us. See, you just thought you was ready to retire. Huh? How many here long enough and you remember a big old guy named Morris Plotts? Morris Plotts came walking in here, giant of a guy. They called him Buonatembo, which meant baby elephant. Big old guys, long arms, his feet were that long. And he comes walking in, and some of us young bucks, we thought he was homeless or something, and so we were going to keep our eye on him, man. He came down here and sat, and we're going to keep our eye on him because he causes any trouble. One of the greatest missionaries this world's ever seen. And then he gets up and speaks and blows us away. But the assemblies called him in and they said, Morris, we need you to retire. It's time for you to retire. You're going to have to retire. And they go tell him all this stuff. So he gets up out of the meeting, walks out. He comes back about 30 minutes, 45 minutes later. And they said, where you been? He said, well, I retired. And they said, you did? He said, yeah, I took my Land Rover out and got 6 new tires on it. He said, I'm retired. I'm going back to Africa. Why don't some of us just retire? Let's just boot up again. Huh? Let's just stir it up. Let's just get it going. Yeah, I might not be able to run as fast as I used to run, but I can still run. Huh? A lot of things I can't do as good as I used to do, but I can still do something. See, and the point is, you don't have to do what anybody else is doing. You just have to do what God's telling you to do. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Well, everybody stand up. Let's quit. Remind me tomorrow, this clock's a little bit slow. I look down and think I'm letting y'all out early and I'm letting out late. Man. I hope I said something today that'll help you. If I said something that rubbed you the wrong way, just figure that if it rubbed you the wrong way, there was something there that needed rubbing, and ask God about it and let him show you and let him be big in your life. I want you to have this relationship with him where you can walk with him and know he's your God and know that he's moving in your life and realize that you walk in his favor and that you realize that everything you do is probably going to work because he's with you. Every time if there's any good this week that's going to happen to anybody, it's probably going to happen to you. Huh? If there's anybody going to get a financial blessing this week, it's probably you. If there's anybody going to get a healing touch this week, it's most likely you. Because you belong to God. You're his friend, like we sang. You're his child. He loves you. And you don't have to be as good as anybody else. You just have to be all that God wants you to be. And when we get to the end, he'll look at you and say, hey, you did what I told you to do. And if all he told you to do was to sweep the aisles every week, you did what he told you to do. And you got just as much credit, whoever was preaching the message, and people got saved. If you did what he told you to do. We are a body. And we're starting to be fitly joined together. You're great people. If you're the one that's here today and you don't know you're right with God, we're going to sing one verse here. If there's anything in there and you don't know you're right, maybe you just want to make sure. If that's you, you come down and let one of us pray with you. Because I want you to walk out of here today knowing, okay? I want you to know in your heart when you walk out of here that you and God have that relationship that I've been talking about today. Did anybody get anything today? How many are like me and we maybe need to revisit some things? Just revisit some things. And God, I just ask that you stir our hearts. Remind us of our callings. Remind us of our gifts. And show us and teach us how to operate them. And let us help each other. And let us advance your kingdom. Sing a song. If you're here today and there's anything in your heart and you don't know for sure you're right, come down and let one of us pray with you. If you're here today and you've been saved, you've never been baptized, or maybe you have, but God's been dealing with you about getting baptized in water, if that's you, come on down today. Thank you, sir. You're just being honest. Come on down. Who else? Come on. Come on. If that's you, come on.
No place I would rather.
And if you got it all together, won't you just love God? Won't you just worship Him? Won't you just praise Him? You need to come. Come on, Mr. You Know. Come on, don't worry. Nobody will even know why you're coming. Come on down and let one of us pray for you. Ma'am, you feel that in your heart. God's been tugging in there. You felt that. That's Him pulling you and drawing you. He's saying, come. Would you just come? You take the first step. It'll be easy after the first step. You just come. Who else? Come on, who else? Come on, I knew it. Come on. Mister, you've looked around two or three times. Don't worry about what anybody else is looking or talking or anything. You just step out. You know in your heart something's not right. Come on, come on down. Let one of us pray with you. Come on, let one of us pray with you. Maybe you just need somebody to agree with you on something. If that's you, you come on down. We want to pray with you. Hurry. Well, this is good. This is good. Give God some praise. Give God some praise. Some of these folks coming down here, man, they're serious about this. You need to be serious about it. If you need to come, come. Hurry. We're not going to prolong this thing. Just come on now if you need to do it. You've started to step two or three times and you stopped yourself. Don't stop yourself this time. Step on out and come on down. Thank you, sir. Who else? Come on. Who else? Come on. Come on. Thank you, ma'am. Who else? Come on. This is your time. This is your time. Somebody says, well, I think I'm saved. I think, come on. Come on. We want to pray with you. I don't want you thinking. I want you knowing. Come on. This is your time. This is your day. Whoo, isn't God good? Isn't God good? Isn't God good? I said, isn't God good? Just tell Him how good He is. Just give Him some praise. Just give Him some praise. Just give Him some praise. Wow, praise the Lord. I see my sisters back here. I told you this was home. I told you this was home. I'm glad to see you here today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go ahead and sing one more chorus. Hurry. You've been thinking about it. Come on. Hurry. Hurry, it's about to end. Hurry. Hurry. Rather be. No place I'd rather be. Hurry, you coming? Whoever it was that was supposed to come and you didn't come, as soon as we dismiss, go ahead and come on down anyway. We'll just fool the devil and you'll get your heart right today anyway. And you just come on down. One of us will pray with you, okay? Because we love you and we want you to know how much God loves you. Isn't God good? Just give Him a praise. I said give Him a praise like He's good. If you haven't signed one of these sheets yet, come on over and sign one of them. And everybody grab a few flyers, hand out to your friends and family and neighbors. We want everybody to be a part of this great Roundup Day with us. Just 2 weeks from today, so grab a flyer. Hey, I love y'all. Thank you so much for letting me be your pastor. Love you. I'll see you next time. Frank will be speaking to us tonight at 6 across the alley. See you next time.